Oh, I have waited all year to play this again.
It gets more ridiculous every year we do.
It really does. Reason. It's like putting the angel on the Christmas tree. This has to be played every December. That's our new thing now. Welcome, everybody. It is the Midnight Horror Show. We're here live, like we are every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. You can find that at tmhsradio.com and TMHS Radio on the TuneIn app. Join the Facebook group. Get over there. Get chatting. Or come to tmhsradio.com and chat there. Just let us know what's going on. We got a lot of listener participation type stuff that goes on this show. So it's good if you can make the live. If you can't, you can hear the replay. It's supposed to come out on Thursdays. I've been a little delayed here lately, but I'll get them up. But yeah, if you get a chance on a Wednesday night and you're free, or you can do it like a boss where we have some listeners do it while they're at work, right?
Myron has already drawn first blood with his comment saying, Duncan, do your Buster in a Michael Myers mask voice. Just for you, Myron, and just because it's almost Christmas, I left the door unlocked for your ass to get in the motherfucking key. Just for you, Myron.
That's awesome. That's actually really perfect, dude. That was perfect.
Just for Myron.
That was awesome. There you go, Myron. There you go. See, that's what happens when you tune in live. You get cool stuff like that. But if you listen to the replay, you don't get all the fuzz in the background. So there you go. We clean a little bit of that up.
We try to extend the editing. Goodbye, fuzz.
Yeah, that's it. We get rid of the fuzz, and every once in a while, Dr. Dark will say something that needs to be taken out.
He's not done it in a while, in fairness.
No, and the thing is, if other people say it on the show, we don't edit it out because we know there's no meaning in that. But when Dr. Dark says we have to edit it out, we just don't. I don't know where his intentions lie.
When he says that, you know, it's heartfelt.
It is.
Which is something we don't want.
I know. It does. It makes my nuts twist up. It's a really weird feeling when he says it. Anyone else says it, I'm not bothered by it. But when he says it, it feels like centuries old wrong. Is how it feels. It's not good. Feels icky. All right, everybody, we're starting off our Christmas. Christmas doesn't start till tomorrow, right? December doesn't start, but it's already starting for Duncan. It's midnight your time, right?
Yes, it is. It's the 1st of December in the UK, ladies and gents.
Boom. See? And I had someone go, it's funny you guys do the Midnight Horror Show, but you record. It's 7 live. Yeah, that's Eastern time, motherfuckers. All right. It's midnight somewhere.
Midnight Duncan time.
Yeah, exactly. It's midnight Duncan time.
My time. Yay. Russell C. says, good, but not as good as his garter gun.
Oh, dude, that's been a long time since we've done that, too. What in the world?
And I don't know why. That one, like, the he's got a gun doesn't sound anything like David Cronenberg, who is a Canadian. But I like the fact that we give him that kind of weird English accent.
I love it.
His garter gun.
I think it's perfect.
Taking on a life of its own.
I think someone needs to edit that into that scene of the movie. I want to see it with Duncan saying it.
I want to see it.
See, oh my gosh. It's like the ghosts of Christmas.
So many
past.
Catchphrases. It's
all in the first 5 minutes of the show. That's me. Spend the
like
load.
We need like a t-shirt that's just TMHS, and written in the TMHS is all the horrible, retarded things we've said on this show before. Hambone. Everything will be on there.
Oh, I love Hambone.
I love Hambone.
He's not here tonight. He's busy.
His name is Jason.
Yeah, but how can we get it on there with Dark's inflection on it? We need it on a shirt that says
amazing.
It.
That was amazing.
I forgot all about that.
Oh, my God.
I forgot all about
the
that.
Dr. Darks. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Dr. Darks not here either, but he'll probably be here for the second hour because I'm pretty sure he wants to take part in that wrap off we have to do. Mark, you are aware of the wrap off, correct?
Yes.
You know, so let me clear this up. So I might have given you the wrong impression. This isn't a rap battle. This is just to see if, as white boys, and actually specifically me and you, if we can recite rap songs, because we've been told that we claim that we're hip-hop, we play hip-hop, we're the rap horror podcast, and they don't believe that some of the hosts have any street credit, and that's very noticeable.
I have contributed to that with the copious amounts of Limp Bizkit,
that's actually what saved you. So they, crazy enough, Dark is the only one that's had street cred forever, supposedly. And Duncan gained
weird.
It. Duncan gained it with his Limp Bizkit rap. So, Undead gets a pass. Now, this is what I don't understand. Because he because he hates rap, that gives him a pass. That's that
yeah,
gave
because
him
he openly
cred.
Hates it. And he openly hates it. I think that's what it is. Like, everyone else on the show is like, yeah, ghetto, we're from the street and all the rest. And Undead's like, that, get off my lawn. And everyone's like, we're off your lawn, sir.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have a nice day.
Exactly.
And you take care now.
And so that's how he got street cred. So he has been pardoned from this. So basically it got down to targeting me and you, Mark, that we don't have any street credit. And if I keep calling it credit, that's not going to work. It needs to be called street cred. See, I'm already off to a bad start here. I'm like, we don't have any street credit, Mark. No, we don't have any street cred. So I forced others to participate in this as well with us, Mark, so we wouldn't feel left out. Because and Dr. Dark was like, yeah, shit, I can't even pick a song. You know, it's funny. We give him a top 10 movie list, and he picks a bunch of movies he hasn't even watched. You tell him he's got to rap a verse of a song, and he's like, oh, my God, what a hard decision. I can't even pick one. I'm like, fuck you, dude. What?
See that, like, people, like, we have a lot of new listeners. There's a lot of new people that have come on the scene that are starting to listen to this show, especially in the last couple of months, that have never been through a Dr. Dark top 10 yet. And I don't think you guys understand. See, when we say this, we are close to the end of the year, which means we will do some sort of list on our favourite movies from the year and our least favourite movies. And I guarantee 100% that in the grand tradition of the Midnight Horror Show, everyone will show up prepared. Everyone will show up prepared, except Dark, who will not be able to fill a list of 10. So what he does is he just goes on Wikipedia and he just picks a couple of movies, or he looks at what other people have said about movies and he just shoves them in. But instead of putting them as like 10, 9 and 8 because he hasn't seen them, no, he'll put them close to the best on the list even though he's not seen them. This guy said it was a great movie, so I put it at number 3.
I can't understand.
Every fucking year, and he'll do it again. He will do it again this year.
He will.
I'll get my back up, Danny. I'm not gonna lie.
He's gonna do it.
Every fucking time.
It never fails. And so, and like you said, with the new listeners, sometimes we're gonna say stuff that you're gonna go, what the, like a ham bone. You're gonna go, what the fuck? You're gonna have to go back because some of these jokes run like 7 years in the making. So you just have to kind of go back and pick through it. Maybe we need to get together like some sort of special show where we clip together a bunch of these origins.
Jacob Kane says, don't worry, Danny.
You have street yen. Son of a bitch. That's fucking horrible.
What is the value of a street yen?
I don't know. It's been a while since
value of the street yen?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've played Final Fight on Super Nintendo, so I can't remember, because I know that's how you purchase stuff on that game, was with your yen. And it would, like, you'd see, like, 60 million come across the screen, but I'm sure if it was an American game, that's like picking up $5 on the street. I don't know how this all translates out. I'm lost in translation, Duncan. Lost in it.
Lost in translation. Lance, I'm loving this already. Our listeners are very active over on the Facebook group page. Lance Langford has posted that Jeffrey Dean Morgan has confirmed that he will be Negan for The Walking Dead Season 8. That's assuming it doesn't get cancelled.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are...
Which it won't get cancelled. It's already been confirmed for a new season. But I have not fully caught up. I watched the first two episodes of Season 8. So I have missed, apparently, the two or three episodes that everyone didn't like. I need to kind of catch up with that. But I've been told not to hurry to catch up with it. I should probably wait until something happens in the story. Which seemed harsh, because I liked those first two episodes.
There's people flipping out over these last couple, like, as to how bad they
are. It's really disappointing, because I'm where Duncan is. Two in, and yeah. I know nothing of all this chaos going on. What the hell?
But what I'm thinking to myself is, but isn't this The Walking Dead every year, though? Isn't this what The Walking Dead does every single year? The first two, maybe three episodes of the season are usually, you know, very action-packed, huge parts of the storyline, and then it calms down for a couple of episodes, and then it picks up. Are fans of the show, who maybe are getting their nose bent out of shape, maybe a bit more annoyed because Season 8 started off with probably the most dramatic start, and as a result, it's very evident that things have slowed down. I don't know. I've not seen it, but
it's hard to follow that up.
It's 7, like, they're talking about in the space of 2 weeks, it's lost 7 million viewers, which, if you were any other show but The Walking Dead, you would be off the air. You know what I mean? The Walking Dead can conceivably afford to take a hit like that, and knowing fine well that, you know, they can. There's very likelihood that the story will pick back up in the middle and bring people back. But you know, if you're any other show but The Walking Dead or maybe a couple of the HBO shows, you're cancelled. You know what I mean? If you lose 7 million viewers, if you lose just under half your viewership in like 2 weeks, there's emergency board meetings, someone's head's on the block, someone's getting fucking fired for that. Yeah, just it seems really, really interesting. Like that people are now like, oh, nothing's happening. There's too many storylines going and we're not focusing one story. FYI, that's been The Walking Dead for the past, what, 4 or 5 seasons? That's how they do it.
It's been all the way back since the beginning. This has been the formula, right? Even like what was season 2 was Herschel's Farm, right? Where they get the little girl got lost on the road in the beginning. Yep. And okay, so it started off, then it kind of slows down, picked up at the mid-season, slowed back down, and finally right at the end picked back up. They do this every time.
That's what I thought. I don't know if it's necessarily the choices of the storylines are doing and the camera bits are just not interesting to people, which is, I mean, that is highly possible. There are so many groups and factions and storylines going on now that maybe people prefer certain storylines over the other. And as a result, when their least favorite storyline gets an entire episode dedicated to it, they're instantly brought out of it. You know, they don't want
which
to
also
watch
happens
that
every season.
But I was going to say that happened. I remember when they were journeying towards, what was the name of that place? The place that had the cannibals. We had a whole season where they were walking towards. It was on the board. Someone will post
Chef
it on the page.
Chef Boyardee.
Whenever they were walking towards that, there was we were following like 2 characters 1 week and then 2 characters another week. And some of those characters were not interesting, like, at all. But you stick with it because you know it's going to go somewhere. And that's just, like I've said many, many times, if you're on a show like The Walking Dead, which really has pitched itself more as a character drama set against the backdrop of a zombie apocalypse, you cannot have an episode, you know, every single week, which is just pure anarchy, pure mayhem, and people dying all over the place, because you become desensitized to it. And you know, like with anything, when things just get ridiculous and over the top week after week, you just even Ash versus Evil Dead knows when to rein it back in and give you something a bit more serious, a bit more darker, and all the rest, so that when they pull that goofy shit the next week, it's so much more funny. Yeah. You have to tonally watch what you're doing, and I will catch up with it, definitely, 100%. I mean, I binge-watched a lot to get me back to this position. It's just, I feel like people are very... Walking Dead isn't the only show that gets this, but people are... Because American Horror Story apparently had its worst season ever, according to, like, all these critical sites, which I don't fucking understand, because I thought it was probably one of the most original TV shows I've seen ever. I thought it was fucking amazing, the new season of American Horror Story. But critics, it's really boring, and you know, it lacked discipline, and you know, the second half of it was all just killing off characters with no plot. What you're misunderstanding is, I'm sorry, I'm going on a huge fucking rant at the start of this episode. It's Christmas, but fuck it. This is your present. The present is my rage in a bowl. You basically have a TV show that every season takes a look at a particular subgenre of horror or several subgenres of horror and puts their own spin on them. And what it was putting its own spin on was reality television and film footage movies, the majority of which recently have lacked substance. So that's what it gives you. It gives you a TV show, a fake TV show, which lacks substance. It plays a pastiche of that. And people are like, oh, it's just dumb. Well, no, it's highlighting how dumb these things are. And the fact that you think that this wasn't a deliberate decision, that all of a sudden, for some reason, the writing staff just got lazy in the second half, makes no fucking sense at all. And I don't get it. I do not get it. People are very quick to want to see things fail now. And I don't know, like popular things, people just can't wait for the first chink in the armor so they can go, oh, look, The Walking Dead, look at it, it's going to fail, it's going to fail. And it's not going to fail, it's been renewed for another season. I guarantee that when it finishes, everyone will be back on board, and when they do their Comic Con, it'll be even bigger than the time before. All the people that were on it will charge even more money for the fucking signature. It's too far in now for it to fail. The only thing I can see as a failure of the show is they haven't set an end date, which I think you can become a bit complacent with that. I just don't get, I don't, why are people so eager to see things fail?
Because
I don't know.
Because it then it's the safe way of being. It's you're not taking a risk that way. The timid Timmies of the world have to because of stuff like The Sopranos. They invest themselves for these years and years and years, and they love these characters and they quote these characters, and it ends the way it does, and some love it, and some of them just were so melted by this that you're terrified now to get on board with the show because you're like, I've invested so much into this. If they fuck this ending up, like so many things before it, I just don't want to be there. So I'm going to wish for it to go bad so when it does go bad, I can sit there and go, I see, I told you so. I told you so. I don't feel bad inside. I'm not crying. I mean, that's what happens. Yeah. You know, I mean, come on. I it's easy for me because I root for sports teams that can't win games ever. So I'm used to failure. So I'm on board for these things. I will sink with all of them. I'm fine with it. I don't care. Let all the shows go to shit and I'll try to keep watching them. You know, it was Terminus. Thank you, Alicia and Lance.
Terminus.
And Russell.
It was Terminus. Russell says, I'm still loving The Walking Dead this season. He's all on board. So, and Alicia agrees, Duncan, that she loved AHS this year, too. I can't believe. This is the first. I guess I didn't look into it, but you saying it is the first I've heard about it.
It got slated. It really, like, it was like everyone lined up this year for whatever reason and just, like, decided that this season was going to be the season that they were just going to dislike. Like, passionately. I've read, like, vitriolic statements from like proper like horror based fanzines tearing this season apart, and I don't understand it. I'm seeing a lot of hate for the finale as well. I thought the finale was really cool and it tied up other seasons of American Horror Story into the same universe, which is one of the aspects that I really love about the show overall. But yeah, people were like, you know, it's gone so far up its own ass and all the rest. And I'm like, no. You just didn't get the message. That's all it is. And that's cool. Everyone's entitled to not get the message, but you clearly didn't get the message. I did. I saw it for exactly what it was, which was a very, very clever statement about how we consume television now, which depressingly is about 50% reality TV now, passed off as, you know, reality TV, and it's not, it's fucking scripted, and a lot of very formulaic, very generic horror movies which are being made as found footage because it's the cheapest way to do it. And that's exactly what, that's the whole, that is the modus operandi of the entire season, and I loved it for that. So
yeah,
can't please everyone. No, this is what I'm learning.
It's The Sopranos' fault. It's also Game of Thrones' fault because they have, you know, they're just so kick-ass every week. People just want kick-ass all the time. You got to take filler on other shows, people. It's how it works.
Incidentally, I will continue to profess my love every single week for Westworld.
Oh my God, it's amazing! It's amazing.
Fucking amazing! That show, guys. If you're not watching Westworld,
you're ridiculous.
Get on Westworld.
You got to do it.
It's fucking amazing, incredible TV. And Anthony Hopkins, every scene is just like the greatest. You come in here with your cheap shoes. It's like fucking amazing.
Oh, Lance disagrees with us about the AHS, though. Lance says he's not enjoyed it since season 3. This, oh man, I don't know. I there's a couple that were hit or miss for me, but I really like this. I don't like the final episode of this season. I really didn't like that. But, you know, I liked it up to that
point.
You
know, I really did.
I mean, I guess after seeing it, I was like, if it would have just ended with her getting thrown in the cop car and this bitch getting gunned down with a nice, you know, Frank Darabont, The Mist ending, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Yeah. I mean, I like that they do the tie-ins, and I don't mind the last episode. But after seeing it, I'm just like, you know, I would have been fine never seeing it and just stopping right at that fucked up point.
Right, I've got you. I think what they did, The previous season had a ridiculously upbeat ending. You know, Hotel had, like, probably the happiest ending out of any American Horror Story season. And I don't know if they've decided that they should try and continue that thread of kind of putting, like, a veiled happy ending in. I don't know. That was my guess. But I could talk ad nauseum about how much I thought American Horror Story season 6, I think it was fucking amazing. I can completely understand people that went off the show. I my dis my main point of disagreement is when people said that the writers got lazy and they just didn't. No. That everything in that show is deliberate. Everything they do in that show is deliberate. That has been picked. That's not someone not knowing how to do something and just going, oh, fuck it. And that's the best part of watching anthology TV, is that you can take risks and you can do things different, and not every ending will land, or not every season will land, but it will with some people. And American Horror Story is the only television show that guarantees every season to do something, you know, to tackle something completely different, knowing fine well that some people will get on board for that ride and it'll turn off people that preferred the previous season. And that's bold. And that's why I can't wait to see what Channel Zero does in their second season.
Oh, it's going
to
be
because
good.
they're going off in a completely different direction as well. So that's what we should have, more shows like that. I don't want people are complaining about The Walking Dead doing things that The Walking Dead have done for fucking six seasons. But yeah, you're only complaining about it now. Why, you know, bitch and moan about a show that is prepared to take risks, is prepared to do something different season on season? Get behind it and support it.
I think I agree though with American Horror Story. This season, when it does the switch, I don't want to say too much for people that haven't seen it, you know, mid season, it's just such a cool idea. Like, it's not, I mean, it has parts of this has been done, but the way they took it is just its own path. This was ridiculously awesome. I love the way it was set up. I really liked the season. It was cool. But yeah. Channel Zero, I'm excited for that because, you know, the story is an okay throwaway 2-minute story that they expanded gloriously for season, you know, for Candle Cove. But this story is like a 5-time better story than Candle Cove. So the things they can do with this season is going to be great.
Sci-fi are putting, this is what blows my mind. Sci-fi, the people behind fucking Sharknado, you know what I mean? And fucking Mega Croc versus fucking huge shark.
The Octobot.
You know what I mean? And these are the guys putting them out.
But that's what they did. They used all that money and they funded some really good shit suddenly. There's actually a couple shows right now running on sci-fi that are legitimate shows. I mean, not all horror. Some are very science fiction, you know, But, yeah, I mean, they're running some really good shows right now. And they're, you know, it's like it's people like sci-fi and Netflix. Like, you know, they're
these little
people.
Upset Myron.
Uh-oh. Oh,
because you mentioned Darabont, and he doesn't like Darabont.
Oh.
He doesn't like him. He sees him as a ruiner of Stephen King stuff. Doesn't like the ending to The Mist.
Oh, well, I mean, it is, if I hadn't already been, you know, butthurt so many times by The Twilight Zone and Ray Bradbury Theater and all that, that would have bothered me more, too. But I have a problem with it, too. I want to go back to the book and go, no, I just want to pretend that they were all fine. But what he does with the ending, there's only one way you can hit that perfectly right, and I think Frank Darabont does it by just absolutely just tearing your whole fucking world down. So everyone that's read the book, they're like, oh, it's fine. They're just going to all drive off. Don't worry. And then that happens. Like, everyone's face has to drop on this. You know what I mean? He does the Green Mile to the T. He does these things to the T. You know, they follow the story all the way through, and you don't expect this from him. You know, you go into a, like, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie, and you're like, all right, where's it going to be? Where's the twist? You watch for it. You don't do that in a Frank Darabont movie. So when he throws that at the end of The Mist, I mean, it's a win-win either way. You either love the fact that he does it, or you are so pissed off that he does it. And I feel that he wins in both cases there, because he's getting you to react in such, you know, an over-the-top way. I hate it and love it at the same time. That ending. God damn you. It's one of those things like 12 Monkeys. You watch it every time and you wait and you go, maybe this time they'll get here a minute sooner. Is this a different DVD? Someone haunt this goddamn DVD. Fix it. And you freak out.
I saw it in the cinema when it came out.
Oh, God.
You could have heard a fucking pin drop at the end of that movie. The theater was, and it was packed theater, quiet. Everyone just sat there waiting for the, no, this is the actual ending, you know? Everyone was happy and all the rest. Like, that ending ends with a man's world being destroyed and him screaming out in mental torture. And there are very few American horror films, if any, that have ever ended that way. And I think that's one of the reasons I kind of want to hug the guy. Because he could have compromised. The studio didn't want him to do it. He could have compromised and he forgoed. he forewent his salary. He didn't get paid for making that movie because he wanted to do that ending. The only thing he compromised on was the black and white. He wanted to do the whole thing in black and white, and that's an option on the DVD. So,
have you watched it?
What, the black and white one? Yeah, it's the only way I watch it.
Oh my god, it's such
Darabont's 100. Listen, that's what makes. That's how I know Darabont made the right decision, because everything about that movie, the way he wanted it to go, works. Like, and that's what you talk about, a singular vision. He knew everything he wanted to do with that movie. I think the movie's perfect. I think that some of the really dodgy CGI effects in it look better in black and white because you can hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just fucking amazing. Let's dedicate a show to the Mist.
Not today. Not today. Not today, because we have to start where we always start.
26 minutes in.
But it's cool because we're gonna do Spill Your Guts. Mark's got the new game starting, and then the second hour we're doing Duncan Defense. We gotta wait for the jury to get here. We need Dr. Dark here. We need a big jury for the Christmas return.
It's my party and I'm crapping with
you. It's true. That's true, and that's a really good code for us to use back and forth to say the boss is PMSing. We gotta give him what he wants. Gotta give him that red Corvette for his birthday, his sweet 16. If he's listening right now, we're all fired. Merry Christmas. We're fired. He will. No matter what happens, we all have to say at the end that his rap was the best. Please, God, remember.
Always, always. All the listeners, not going to compete with him.
All the listeners, everyone out there, remember, you need to post it everywhere that Dark's rap was the best.
You know what I'm loving right now? Russell C. posted a little picture of Hambone Radio.
The Hambone Radio is amazing.
Which is our sister station out there on the radio waves. They are partnered with us, twinned with the Midnight Horror Show. Our fellow compadres out there, Hambone Radio.
Hambone!
KNCE 93.5.
Jacob Kane says, the end of the Mist in black and white with the Dead Can Dance song cranking. Oh yeah, all six nipples are tingling. The fact that I see this big, burly, badass man with six nipples will haunt my dreams for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you. I'm excited for that. All right. Monica says, last week you said Channel Zero. This week you tell me Westworld. Duncan, thanks for keeping me busy on the TV gyms you find. See? But
yeah, well, hopefully, Monica, you will enjoy Westworld more than you enjoyed Channel Zero. I know that you weren't as digging it as much as myself and the Mr. Triox on this show.
We love
and
it.
Trust me, that's not the end. You know what I mean? We've totally got, you know, Dark doesn't like it either. So. Oh,
Dark wouldn't even watch it. he refuses.
Yeah. He's like, that sounds boring.
I knew this probably and potheadedly forgot that Frank Darabont co-wrote The Dream Warriors. That's making my six nipples tingle now. So I can join you in that dance of nippleage, Jacob. Our nipples are ready to roll. Let's see. That's right. I forgot where we were. I'm looking at the time going, where are we? Are we about to go into a halftime? I don't know what we're doing. There's Guts. Well, we still have the Halloween Guts. It's kind of like having Christmas lights up when the warm weather comes back out. It feels weird, but it's the only one we have, so we have to use it for now.
Always check your candy.
It's trick or treat. I mean, it's Christmas candy. This is what he's talking about. This is a new Christmas one. All right, so we've got quite a bit of questions. Holiday questions, holiday-themed questions for, let's see here. There's three of us. Okay, let's start. Let's start here. Ooh, eat that, Mark.
Now imagine she's what?
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Get in my belly!
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Boom! Christmas miracle.
I was not ready for this. I was expecting Mark to go first.
I know, it's a Christmas miracle.
I don't know
miracle.
Why I was expecting Mark to go first. That insinuates that this is staged.
It's totally random every time, man. I don't know why it always lands on Mark.
Completely random.
It's because there's more letters in Mark's name than any of our names, so it takes up more space on the spin board, and it always lands on Mark. It does. Trust me, Mark. Don't try to think that through there for us. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone, buddy. All right, Duncan.
It would be better saying that Mark comes later in the alphabet than everyone else on the show. Which is factually accurate.
Yeah, I also what I truthfully meant was that Mark was the last one of the hosts here and not here that went through puberty. So that's why he usually has to go first. That's what happens. Sorry, Mark. Sorry, Mark. All right, so the first one's from Alicia. All right, do you have a holiday horror movie that you have to watch every year? And what do you think the worst holiday horror film is? So we need your annual and your anus hating one.
If we're going pure horror, like 100% pure horror, it probably is Black Christmas, and that's probably going to be the most obvious answer, but I think it's pretty much a flawless movie. If we're going kind of fringe horror, as in there are elements of it that are darker, it's Scrooged every single fucking time. Scrooged, yes, is my Christmas Eve movie. Watch every fucking year on Christmas Eve. It's the last movie I watch before I go to my bed. And that is a Duncan MacLeish tradition. And it's like legitimately one of the best Christmas movies ever fucking made. Bill Murray for the win.
Amazing.
Yeah. What's the worst one? That's like that, the pile of shitty Christmas movies that, like, we're dedicating a month to Duncan Defense. Trust me, there is the pile of fucking shitty Christmas movies goes out the fucking window. I'll tell you one of my least favourites. I don't know if it's the shittiest one, and I know some people forgive it, and it may be defended by myself, so I need to watch exactly what I say about it, because I may have to retract this in a week or two. The Black Christmas remake is fucking appalling. It's like actually appalling. It relates next to zero to the original movie. They add so much junk into it that doesn't fucking make sense. And it, like, all the dark kind of heart of Black Christmas, all that like really nihilistic, fucking demented, perverted core of that original movie is not in that remake at all. It's like a shark. It is dead behind the eyes. There's nothing there at all. And for some reason, the yellow bastard from Sin City is a killer in it, which doesn't make any fucking sense. I don't understand that at all. But yeah, there you go. Hopefully that answers your question. Next.
All right. This comes from The Witch. What was the single worst or grossest holiday gift you have ever received or given? Rim job would be Dr. Dark's answer.
Oh, Matt. Like, I just got an answer there, and I don't know if I should say it on the air.
You have to say it. Are you kidding me? Now that you said that much, you have to say it.
The world, obviously not including my wife, because my wife is an angel. Probably the worst Christmas present I've ever given anyone was maybe my seed to some random woman on Christmas Eve, Danny.
I knew it was going there. It's awesome.
That's exactly the worst present I've ever received. I see. I'm actually really. I know. Sorry, I lowered the tone. I've been getting, like, to be honest, I'm quite lucky in that people tend to, they know if they don't know what to get me, they just give me money. So I get a lot of good stuff every year. Probably the worst one though was, I think maybe the second year I'd been dating my wife. Her mother, so now my mother-in-law, who knows that I don't wear brand named clothes, and I'm not that kind of person, got me a t-shirt which was by some popular designer in the UK, which basically on the front of it showed like artistic drawings of the blueprints of the new style of jeans they were releasing on the front of the t-shirt. And one, I don't wear jeans. Like, I never wear jeans. I wear like chino trousers. I never wear jeans. So it was like a t-shirt, and it was like a pastel blue, which is a color would never. It was basically like the anti Duncan Christmas present. It was a fucking horrible looking t-shirt which wasn't in the right size. It was too small for me, so I couldn't even get into it. And it had like someone's drawing of a pair of fucking jeans on the front of it. And It was just like, on every level, it failed as a gift. Like, on every single fucking level. And I sold that fucker on eBay on Christmas Day. I got home and put it right up on eBay and sold it. So, yeah, that's the worst present that's ever been given to me. is there any other questions?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
My mother-in-law doesn't listen to the show, so I'm fine.
Oh. All right. You've got... All right. Better holiday movie, Black Christmas or A Christmas Carol? And that's from Jerry.
Black Christmas.
Black Christmas.
Yeah. Sorry.
You don't like tradition.
If you'd said... Muppets Christmas Carol. Muppets Christmas Carol. Every single day of the week.
It's
got Mark O'Kane in it. Or Mark O'Kane plays Scrooge. And he's like, oh no, don't get me, Mr. Ghost.
Love when he yells at the rats. When the rats what's the part where the rats were like begging for the coal? And he starts screaming at them and they're like all dancing around like...
screams at them. It says, hating in here tomorrow! And they're all like... Ooh. It's fucking That's hilarious. Crazy. That is actually one of the best Christmas movies as well. And like, it's so, so funny. Come in and know me better, man!
Oh my God, it's great.
And what would have been better if Michael Caine had turned around at one point and said, I said, hey, mastermind... Some people want to say the word burn. I started laughing and my accent turned shit. Some people only want to say the word burn, Master Luke. Master Luke? I'm mixing it. Master Luke?
Is it Obi-Wan now?
Oh, Michael Caine is Obi-Wan. Could you imagine that?
That would be awesome.
Yes, I can.
Ricky Morgan. Ricky Morgan says both Bob Clark. No, yes, but not A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Story. Yes, is yes. Bob Clark and Black Christmas. That motherfucker's crazy, man. How do you make two great Christmas movies on both sides of the spectrum, man? That's insane.
That's awesome. And I love the fact that he did one and then he was like going to be, you know, instantly tagged as, oh, he's the guy that did that movie. And then he was like, really? Flip it and reverse it. He was the original one to do that, not Missy Elliott.
And then he did the, what was the movie with the obnoxious actor dude on the island and the corpses everywhere? Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. Oh, that guy, Alan. Oh, he's rough.
Always have horror.
No,
hits.
Ricky, you do not hits. Suck. I should have read it the right way for you, dude.
Right, next question.
All right, next question is...
So many questions.
Oh,
holy shit.
Yeah, all right, so... This
Mark,
is from...
you better be getting your thinking cap on here.
I know, Mark. Yep. You need to be ready here because this will be the second go-round for you, Mark, so there's no way you can be like, oh, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. All right, from Myron, favorite Christmas horror from North America and favorite Christmas horror from Europe?
Right. I'm going to say Black Christmas again. I feel like I'm repeating myself. I think Black Christmas wins it for North America because, like I said before, I think it's an instant classic. I think it predates the slasher genre, so to speak, but it really is a slasher movie. So, yeah, that wins it for me. On the Europe side, what's the name of the one I just put up on my... I can't find it now. This is going to fucking annoy me. The dude that did Wreck did one. And I've forgotten what it's called. I have an answer for this one. It's fucking great and everyone should watch it, but I'm going to come back to you on that. So next question and I'll get the answer.
All right. The final question, and this one is going to be the most difficult of all, comes from Darren. Darren says, eggnog. Delicious holiday treat or vile elf semen?
This is an easy answer for me. They don't have eggnog in the UK. It's just not something I think it's an inherently American thing. I don't think
Mark's
I don't think
shocked
I'm breaking...
by this news. He is shocked. You have freaked him
out. I know that Mark has been drinking eggnog recently. So I'm fairly sure I know where his answer's going. But in terms of like UK-based Christmas drinks, we don't have anything like that. I think potentially the only thing that kind of comes near it is maybe there's a drink, or they do it in America as well, called Advoca, which is like an egg-based alcoholic drink.
Sounds
kind
disgusting.
Of famously shown in The Shining, where Jack Nicholson accidentally bumps into the waiter, and he says, "I will now take my bourbon and Advoca." Like bright yellow sort of thing. I assume that's what it sounds like. My only experience of knowing exactly what I think eggnog tastes like is Starbucks doing eggnog latte that I had a couple of years ago, and I almost vomited after the first fucking sip. It was vile. So, yeah, sorry. We're more a mulled wine people over here than a like sugary, syrupy, eggy, creamy beast. drink. My arteries are hardening right now thinking about it. So, I'm gonna say that it's a, what was that, semen?
Vile elf semen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mark, but I may have to go down that road. Sorry.
Wow. All right, well, wait, we gotta go back to the other question.
And that I've got the answer for you. I knew I would get it. Paco Plaza, one of the co-directors of Wreck, did one of the movies from the films to keep you awake, and it's called The Christmas Tale. It's fucking amazing.
That's what we talked about.
Probably the best European one. There's one called Saint as well, S-I-N-T.
Oh, yes.
Which is really fucking good, but The Christmas Tale wins every time for me. It's fucking amazing.
Absolutely. The movie's fucking great.
Check it out.
Karate
Kid. Is that all the questions?
That's all of them. You rock. All right, now we go.
Another sender.
Let's see here. Who do we have left? All right, well, now that's nice.
I'm not your friend, buddy. I'm not your buddy, guy. He's not your kind of friend.
It's party time.
Danny Trioxin.
Oh, Mark. All right. So I guess you're going last.
What a twist.
What a twist. See? Didn't expect it because I'm not M. Night Shyamalan. So didn't see that coming. I just darabonted you. That's the word for tonight. Darabonted you.
But you are James McAvoy.
Oh, see? You can't be throwing those twists on me like that. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Mark, Spoiler alert. I hated Split.
I'll be honest, everything I've seen about it thus far makes me really want to go and see it. So I'm sorry. We've spoken about this before, and the grand pantheon of Shyamalama Ding Dong movies, I'm not his biggest fan. I like approximately 3.5, 4 movies, I would say, in total of his. I like, Sixth Sense. I think Unbreakable is his masterpiece. I like half of Signs. I like half of The Village. I really like The Visit. So, sorry, 5 then. The Visit, I thought The Visit was really good. Hate Lady in the fucking Water.
It's horrible.
I thought it was awful.
Horrible.
Don't even get me started on the Happening. Fuck that movie.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to go one step. I actually quite like The Last Airbender, even though I know nothing about The Last Airbender. I thought as a ridiculous popcorn flick with a child that can bend air and shit, it was actually not bad.
Oh, Avatar, The Last Airbender. I remember that cartoon.
Yeah, well, he did the movie version of it, and it bombed colossally. Oh. In fact, it's the reason that he went into kind of exile for a while, because a lot of money spent in that movie, and guess what? It didn't do well. I looked at the Last Airbender as like some sort of weird alternative version of the Golden Child.
Yeah,
like
pretty
Golden
much.
Child was just going like that was his superpowers that we never get to see in the movie. I want the knife, please.
As soon as you start saying that,
I will talk all night. There's no way I'm stopping talking, so I'm going to gag myself right now.
Mark doesn't even get to answer the questions yet. He's still got to wait. He's got to wait his turn. He's gone last.
That was the twist, Duncan.
I forgot that your sounder doesn't go meow, 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 meow.
It should.
Well, I kind of wish
cat,
it did.
I know, it should, cat boy. All right, let's see here. First one was Alicia. Do you have a holiday horror movie that you have to watch every year? Yes. Yes, I do, and that is, I watch all of them. I have to watch all of them. Not the horror ones, but the French horror ones, like Scrooged and Gremlins. I have to watch all that. I watch it every year. And then I watch A Christmas Story, you know, about a million times. So in between those, I watch Scrooged, Muppet Christmas Carol. That's horror. That was kind of scary, right? The two old guys as Marley and Marley, and that song is terrifying. So it's got horror elements. And anything that does A Christmas Carol is always going to have horror elements because the goddamn death is always terrifying. Worse in Scrooged, of course, because of the things in the goddamn ribcage. That's terrifying. It's horrible. Worst holiday horror film is no doubt, the worst one ever made. Even worse than Black Christmas Remake is definitely The Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys at Christmas.
Oh, fucking hell.
With Corey Feldman. With Corey fucking Feldman as someone's dad. He's the dad of this girl that is like probably 2 years younger than him. It's the weirdest, most awkward thing. And the movie just is, it's just diarrhea all over. Well, I mean, not the Demonic Toys franchise. It's not like a huge, upstanding franchise. And neither is Puppet Master. But Jesus, this film shits all over it. It was horrible. Horrible. It's horrible great, but horrible. This is the worst one. All right, the witch's question. Single worst, grossest holiday gift. Let's see here. What's the worst thing I ever received?
Knowing now that I have taken semen off the table.
Yeah, semen's off the table.
Semen is off the table.
Let's see here. Worst. I have to come back to that one. I don't know. Worst or grossest holiday gift. I don't know. Oh, I know. It's crazy. Okay, so look, my Asian grandmother likes to give trinkets away from her house to me for Christmas, right? This is what she does for Christmas and my birthday. She gives me little trinkets from the house, right? So one year she gave me like, I guess it was like a paint scraper razor blade. So I got like razor blades. There's all kinds of other shit in there, but there was razor blades in here and a postage scale. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those little postage scales.
Yep.
Okay, it's not used for postage scales here in America. It's used to weigh bags of drugs and
yeah, narcotics.
Yeah, so
mostly,
here we are at family Christmas, and I'm pulling out razor blades and a fucking postage fucking thing, and I'm like, man, I don't know what she's giving me this shit for. It's horrible. So that's the worst gift that I've ever gotten.
You know, you're like that. Listen, Grandma, I know that I listen to Tupac, but that doesn't mean I'm going to start dealing and slashing people.
Yeah, I gotta watch her though because she's got the right spoon with the holes drilled in it, and that's the only word she can really say really, really clearly in English is "God damn it!" And she'll go "God damn it!" and she will fucking smack me with that rice spoon. Oh,
she's gonna say Tupac.
Oh, she used to wear my like little wrists out and my elbows. Oh my god, strict Japanese grandparents. Oh, it's making my arms hurt now. It's like Krampus. I mean, that's what it's making me think of when I think of my grandma. Not that she's anything like that, just whipping me and throwing me in a sack. That is kind of where she fits in that. Better holiday movie, Black Christmas or Christmas Carol. I love Black Christmas, the original, as well. But like Duncan put the twist on the question, if it's a Muppet Christmas Carol, I'm going with that. It's amazing. Amazing. Love it. Love it. It's only, what is it, one more something till Christmas.
Yes.
whatever they're singing.
What's it? You know wherever you call home, it feels like Christmas. Yeah.
I love that song.
That fucking movie's amazing.
The two old ones are like, we're Marley and Marley. Ooh!
It's fucking amazing. It is amazing. Let's watch that.
Let's do a
live commentary on that after the show.
Yes, we have to do that. We are going to do that this month. I swear to God. We are going to have a drinking watch-along to a Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, fucking, let's do it. Let's set that in stone.
And then we'll start singing the songs. We got to get the lyrics to the songs so everyone can sing along. It'll be a big musical. We'll do the Muppet Christmas Carol musical commentary show. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened.
It just gave me a Charlie horse in both legs thinking about it. I got all like a little Asian schoolgirl, and both my legs went, yeah, and they just locked right up on me. It hurts. I'm like, there's tears actually coming down my face right now, but I got to try not to show that I'm a pussy, but it hurts really bad, just so you know. Whew, okay. Favorite Christmas horror from North America. Okay. I'm just going to say Black Christmas so we can move on. And favorite Christmas horror from Europe, I'm agreeing with Duncan because there's nothing cooler than breaking into that water park and the scary Santa Claus woman in the hole. Oh, God, it's so cool. Yes. And they love Karate Kid, and the kids are awesome. They're all awesome, and it's really bleak in the end. Holy shit, I love it.
It's such a bleak end.
There's so many of those that are really good. The little girl with the imaginary friend that's Leatherface. You can buy it. Someone was talking about trying to find that over on the page. Just go to Amazon or somewhere and just look for, what, 6 films to keep you awake, and it comes as the set. Just get the set up.
Yeah, you get all – and trust me, the ratio of good to bad in that set is favoring you, the consumer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some really good – we've spoke about this before on this show. You can get it fairly – I don't think it's not out of print. You can pick it up fairly cheap, so do it.
Yeah, I definitely pick it up.
Jack and Coke, do it.
All right, eggnog, delicious holiday treat, or vile elf semen?
Where do you land on this, Danny?
It's a definite vile elf semen. I will not.
Do you not like eggnog?
Oh my God. My wife gets it. I've tried to drink it. And I'm like, you know, like, it's funny. They're kind of like Fritos corn chips. Like, the first, like, sip of it, I'm like, man, this shit's not that bad. And I eat, you know, a couple Fritos. I'm like, I've been missing this my whole life, man. Fuck Pringles and Lay's. This is where it's at. But then the second sip or the next handful of Fritos, I'm like, man, I'm going to fucking throw up. What the fuck is wrong with this food? It's fucking horrible. It tastes good for a second, and then it goes away. It's like chewing gum, like cheap chewing gum. Like, you know, the one with the zebra stripes on it, whatever the shit that was. It's cheap like that gum. It's horrible. I can't do it.
I'm looking forward to getting to Mark because Mark does like it, but I know it's very much like there are certain things over here where, depending on what alcohol you add to it, kind of changes your outlook on it.
I mean, I'd rather just drink my alcohol. I don't want to drink. It's called eggnog, first of all. I mean, that just eggnog. I mean, why does that sound like something? It's like doing crack. It doesn't sound cool. Why are you doing or drinking or eating or smoking this? Eggnog. It sounds like something. It sounds like a tree or some part
it
of a tree.
It sounds totally foreign when you say it. Eggnog.
Eggnog. Eggnog.
It sounds, eggnog.
Eggnog. It sounds like something the aliens on Mars attack say. Eggnog. And they're just running around
coneheads.
Saying it. Yeah, coneheads. Yes, there you go. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And my favorite song from the movie, Russell's favorite song from the Muppet movie is When Love Is Gone. Russell, you'll have to call into Skype that night when we're doing the show, and you can sing along with When Love Is Gone with us. How about that?
Yeah, trust me, me and Danny will be balls deep in that.
We're going to be singing the shit out of this. We're going to be singing the shit out of this. Fruit Stripe, thank you, Monica. Yeah, that gum. Yuckiest gum ever. I agree. Fucking nasty shit. All right, Marcus, let's find your sounder and let's kick you off, shall we?
Let the motherfucker.
Oh, silly shit. Silly me.
The nefarious Dr. Dark.
Dark Mark. Tomato, tomato.
I thought he was actually here.
Is he actually here? Is he really here? I don't know. No, I don't think he's here yet. I'm sorry. I was just being stupid. Here we go.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Mark always takes the longest to respond after his name.
I'm like, is that me?
No,
that one time.
Smoked it after it was the most obvious. We need to play Smoke Sounder at some point because I've not heard it in a couple of weeks.
I know, because he never shows up. That son of a bitch never shows
up. It's the greatest sounder in the history of sounders.
Right. Let's do it real quick.
Not just now. Not just now. Right. We need to get Mark's question.
Oh, yes, Mark. Mark, all right, here we go.
Just before break.
Mark, you're slated with a couple questions here, and we'll start with the first one, and that is Alicia's question. Right? And what horror movie do you have to watch every year? Holiday horror movie? And which one is the worst holiday horror movie?
I can answer both of those questions with one movie.
Oh.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh, okay. That's a good answer.
I watch the Mystery Science Theater version of that every year. It is a terrible, terrible fucking movie. Do not watch it like non-MST3K or Riff Tracks versions because it's a rough one to get through. But yeah, it's bad and I watch it every year.
All right, awesome, dude. That's a good answer. All right.
Bam! 2-1.
The Witch. What was the single worst or grossest holiday gift you have ever received or given?
Okay, so we
do... this has got a story. Strap in.
Here it goes.
So we have, we do like a white elephant thing for our company Christmas party every year. Like, it's just, for those who don't know, it's just like a gift exchange thing where you get like random gifts kind of. And a couple of years ago, I was at the record store and I grabbed a Charlie Daniels vinyl for like $1 and used that as a gift. And I don't remember who it went to exactly, but probably like 6 months ago or so, it turned up in the front office, like by my boss's desk, with a whole bunch of bullet holes shot through it. Where he keeps a bunch of, yeah.
Oh my God.
Like sitting up on the shelf there. And I was like, oh, well, that's where that ended up.
Ooh.
Oh, you bastard.
No, my God. Mark, they have a vendetta against you. They don't like
no,
you.
No, it's just that most of them probably don't have record players, and probably most of them don't like Charlie Daniels.
Like, too good for us buying these high-class goddamn gifts. Who the fuck's got a record player, motherfucker?
I bet Undead would love that story.
Yeah,
Undead. Probably Undead that put the bullet holes in it.
Exactly. That son of a bitch who still can't be here but still comments every time, motherfucker.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, Jerry's question, better holiday movie, Black Christmas or Muppet Christmas Carol?
Muppet Christmas Carol. I haven't seen it in a really long time, so I'd be totally down to do it, like, either on the show or as a Fancy and Friends commentary, maybe.
Mark, there's no
oh,
question.
Oh, look who did that
super,
there.
Super duper Disney, so we can't probably do... Probably can't do a live watch along because
well, the Midnight Horror Show can find a way to do a live watch along. So yeah, the Midnight Horror Show can figure it out. Fancy and Friends might not be able to figure that out, but the Midnight Horror Show will figure out a way to do that. So make sure to tune in for that because we will have it one way or another. God damn it, fuck you. We'll figure it out. I'm not gonna say their name. No. All right, next question. favorite Christmas horror from North America and favorite Christmas horror from Europe?
For Europe, I'll go with Rare Exports.
Ooh,
oh, nice. Very good.
Good one.
Yeah, a couple years, but I remember really liking it. When
it's fucking
out.
Amazing.
That is really good.
American horror movie. I mean, there's the obvious ones. Yeah, like Gremlins and fucking. Oh, good. It's not horror, but Die Hard.
Oh, fucking motherfucker. That's one you have to watch every year.
Yeah, we'll go with those. I had another one in mind, but no.
Well, no, what's your other one? Just tell us your other one.
I can't remember it now, all of a sudden.
All right, well, you need to think of something real quick because I've got to find a halftime now because we can't do this because Dr. Dark isn't here, and you know how that goes, so...
play Smoke Sounder.
Oh, yeah, where's... Okay, let's get to his sounder. Where is this? Oh, God damn it, that's not the right one. Here we go, here we go.
Yeah, let's screw. Let's. I wanna. Fuck. She'd be like, oh, me so horny. Me love you long time.
I say, all right, all right, all right.
It's the greatest thing ever. It's the fucking. It's him. It's him as a sounder.
It really is.
If someone condensed Smoke's life into 15 seconds, that would be what it sounds like.
That's why he's not here anymore. He put a gun in his mouth. He realized that we could condense his entire life into 15 seconds. He's like, fuck. Oh,
Madman Gamer asked a wee while ago, actually, since y'all are talking about TV shows, he wants to know what our thoughts are on Stand Against Evil. He doesn't really recall anyone talking about it, so he's kind of curious. We have kind of briefly touched on it, but not really. I have watched the first two episodes. I'll be honest, I'm not sold on it yet. I intend to finish it, though, because the episodes are like 20 minutes long and there's not that many of them. I know it has finished, and I should have read somewhere that it has been renewed for a season two. I think it's... I like the guy that's... The guy who's obviously Dr. Cox and was one of the villains in Highlander 2. I like him. I don't know what it is about the show that I don't there's something about the show that's not that I'm not connecting with, and I don't know what it is, because on paper it has a goofiness. It kind of reminds me of what would happen if someone crossed Ash versus Evil Dead with Charmed. That's kind of what it's like. You
that
guys
is,
have seen
that's
Charmed.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's no, that is pretty fucking accurate.
Yeah, that's kind of what it reminds me of. If they mixed, it's kind of got that sort of level of villainy of like Charmed, but it kind of has the premise of Ash versus Evil Dead, and it's kind of like they've mixed them together. So I don't hate it, and I don't dislike it. I really want to like it, but I'm still waiting for something to hook me in. You've watched more than I have, though, Danny, haven't you?
No, I have not. I've not been able to get back on there. I've been carried away with some video games lately. So
I had to return some videotapes.
Yes,
every
it is.
Every fucking time, Danny.
It is that time of year.
Every time.
It is that time of year. Oh man, that is perfect for halftime. That's gonna work out great.
Yep. Speaking of, this is the second time this has come up in conversation today. American Psycho. Like, have I ever let you guys listen to my voicemail that I've had since I was like fucking 18?
No,
you've never heard
I don't
it.
Think so.
I'm going to play it on speaker on this show. This is legit 100% my voicemail. Right, how did I get my voicemail?
You need to figure that shit out, because I want to hear this. I've not heard this.
Voicemail, there we go. But it says voicemail, funnily enough. I don't know what this is. Can I get into play my voicemail? This is the least entertaining thing that has ever happened on this show.
You haven't heard last week yet.
Right here. Oh, wait, I think this is it. Maybe. Right. Well, give me 2 seconds. I'll just double check that this is right.
Was I out of questions? I think there's one or two more for me wasn't there?
You definitely have a question left. We were saving the really, really big question for you.
Right.
Right.
Here we go. Right. So this is it here. Right. I don't know if this will play well through my shitty phone and your connection with my fucking terrible mic. This is legit, and I'll tell you there's more funny stories coming from this. This is legitimately my voicemail. If you phone me on my mobile and I don't answer, which is likely because I don't answer my phone to anyone, you will get this voicemail. This is from American Psycho, and it throws every fucking person that's ever phoned me completely off their stride. So here we go.
Hi, this is Paul. Been calling away to London for a few days. Meredith, I'll call you when I get back. Hasta la vista, baby.
Did that come through? Could you hear that?
Yes, it
did. That's when he's recording the fake message after he kills Paul Allen.
That's awesome.
It's like, you know, and that's that. And I did that as a joke when I was like 18. Awesome. I'm now 35.
Yeah, but that's awesome. Right, now you just—I mean—you have to keep it now because it's just.
I have
awesome.
To keep it forever.
Yeah,
but
you
like,
can never
first,
let it
like,
go.
My mother knows that that's my voicemail, and every now and again she forgets, and she's like, "That hello, Duncan, is this your mum?"
That's like, awesome, though, out. Dude. That's great.
Every single time.
I can't believe you've had the same voicemail for that long. I can't believe you had the same number for that long.
Yeah, I've just stuck with the same supplier.
Yeah,
I don't like change, Danny.
That's why most people have to change their numbers because of suppliers. All right, so
right, not, last question.
Oh yes, here it is, Mark. Eggnog.
Yes,
eggnog.
I like it, but I don't put booze in it.
You just drink it.
Don't put booze in it. Whoa.
No. It's like a little bit too close to milk I like White Russians, but that's like half and half, so it doesn't have any of the fucking all that fatty fucking plus eggs and fucking weird shit that eggnog has. And much like pumpkin beer,
eggnog has eggs. I'm fucking with you, Mark. I'm fucking with you. Mark, it's called eggnog. I'm just fucking with you, dude.
Much like pumpkin beer, I only want to drink it like around Christmas time. Like I wouldn't drink it in the summer, probably.
Oh, Mark,
we
don't want to. That's a horrible image. You out in the hot sun, laying around drinking this milky
eggnog.
Who posted the thing from Anchorman where it says eggnog was a bad choice? Someone posted that on the page. It's fucking amazing. Big Ron Burgundy.
Oh man, let's see here. I can't find it. Okay, fine. I just see Russell C's like weird semen picture.
He told me it'd been a while. Yeah. Oh my god, Darren's like posted shitloads of American.
Oh yeah, he's gone off on it. He's gone off on the American Psycho.
That's such a fucking. That's such a great movie.
The witch says, "Stand against evil equals Ash versus evil plus Married with Children."
Sold.
Yeah, that's Married with Children. What a great show. I'm really looking forward to this Muppet thing suddenly now.
I can't wait to do this. This is like the greatest idea we've ever had next to the PC's commentary, which we will have to do again sometime.
Yeah, we have to do it. We should do that yearly too. We should start doing that yearly and see if we tell the same jokes.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Mike Dotson over there on the page says he always looks forward to the segment, Duncan Defense. Well, good, because you've tuned in at the right time, because it's coming up in the second hour. And, I can't put the halftime together, but luckily people put full album streams on here. So I'm going to play a song or two or three, depending on how many it takes till I get back. Or maybe a song and a half or a song and a third or a song and a fourth. I don't know how much it'll actually be. It's just going to be long enough for me to go smoke a cigarette and for all of you listeners to take a deep breath, relax, and do what you need to do before continuing on with the show. All right, so I'm going to go to the Aesop Rock CD, The Impossible Kid, which they have a full album stream of, and it is set, the entire album is set to a little wooden figure reenactment of the entire movie The Shining. So it's a good way to watch that and listen to a great album. So we're going to play some Aesop Rock off The Impossible Kid, and then we shall return for Duncan Defense. And maybe Dr. Dark will be here. Who knows? Peace. We'll be back.
Better terraforming four corners of paranormal. Get shorn for a thermos and parathermals in a warehouse. Air wears Barry Kirtle, St. Vincent de Paul trying to square the circle the source of his power. Foresight born at the corner of Howard on sale. Cherry pick blue in the pail. It's a blue nose chewing his tail, losing his coat, schmoozing a high in a head rush. Hack up bile over H1N1 and then some. One eye on the breadcrumbs, other eye on the drink crumb, other eye on the income. Good knife in the grin, shoot dice with the lice and the ringworms. Peg leg smells like many ain't wag in the night. Make a pipe out of anything. Take five, take a dive in the celebrate. Turn five into 5, 6, 7, 8. Back out, black out somewhere fancy. Shake in the backseat of Aesop's Camry, dude. Seat for the chips and sandwich meat from the crypt in the end. If you give an address and a rib or a piss, don't question a mystery fish. Just picture shrimp on a pillow with grits. Close your eyes, lick your lips. I'm at the cafe ordering a cup of fresh. Sarah gave me two, I gave one to Rex. He said fools ain't shit, plus fuck the pigs. They can never understand what Sumner is.
Word up, word up. Word up.
I'm off grid, I'm through the gate. I fly these kites into the fray.
Word up, word up. Word up.
I'm out the box, I'm through the bud. I fly these kites into the cut. NorCal fried bacteria, no ID, survived the vivarium. Trisor feel severed, no inheriting. Eat with the chimera, fly with the seraph. I might hold court with the cats and dogs of old cools like an orb in a dragon's claw. And Terry Cloth robes outside, detox surly. Curse of the beat cop, Dr. Slurpee, and not no Xerxes. Bearing all moan, man. Stay true like a wolf wearing wolf pants. Ooh, never could avoid himself for long enough to contain or employ his help. And now we look both ways at the asteroid belt. Buzzed, gross, and holy gun love. Still hear an X in his head yelling kiss to bring. From a fortune, a fisher king, or from a sister care. Blisters in his hair, new day, new diarrhea, disrepair. Soup's on two tongues, who's a fix to bear? No shoes, no shirt, no fiscal year. I said hello to Marshall every morning for six. He yelled at me every time. That's a Mori bitch. It only took one tooth to crack the bug juice and chug. Turn a bum to a son's with bug. Outside home, it's an open swim. Occultism in the throes of corrosive wind. A cold meal with a ghost of friends. A whole host of meds. A deal on its own, no cassette. I stepped over a body in the door. I'm pretending asleep, but it's probably war. Goddamn, profound apathy, heart with a crack. I'm ships in the night. I'm darts in a map. Word up.
draw. Hard to admit that I used to draw. Portraiture in a human form. Doodle of a two-headed unicorn. It was soothing. Moving his arm in a fusion of man-made tools and amused from beyond, even if it went beautifully wrong. It was tangible truth for a youth to refuse to belong. No name nuisance. Stews in a bedroom. Booze in a brand new cuneiform. Barely commune with the whore. Got a whole grayscale ungluing his world. Might zone amp to the app of the magpie. Unseen hand dragging his graphite. Cross contour, a little bit of backlight. Black ink after a Bristol to baptize. You can imagine a rush that ensue when you get three dimensions stuffed in a two. Then it's off to a school where it's all the get to. Being trained and observed by a capable few. Back in New York by peeps and a dog in a two bedroom. Doing menial jobs. Plus rhyming and stealing and being a clod. Distractions, freedom abroad. I left some years of giving a light. I left some will the spirit away. I let my fears materialize. I let my skills deteriorate. Horned by the thought of what I should have been. Continuing a mission that was rooted in a 20-year affinity and rickety condition with an ID crisis. Snap on the front lawn, look up in the sky. It's shapes falling out of the fringe. All heart though we would have made cowardly kings. They will chop you down just to count your rings. Just to count your rings. Just to count your rings. And there were colors pouring out of the fringe. All heart though we would have made cowardly kings. They will chop you down just to count your rings. Just to count your rings. Just to count your rings. Used to paint. Hard to admit that I used to paint. Natural light on a human face. Stenciled fire in his roommate's face. It was blooming addiction. A miss and a push and a pigment. Book like a tattooed pigskin look. Pinhead kids in a minute. Drank Kool-Aid from a tube of acrylic. And I grew up in a linseed oil ever linen. Joy to the poison. Voice to the resin. Capture a map of the gesture. Back up. Add a little accurate fat to the figure. Redo that. Move that inward. Zinc white lightning shoots from his fingers. Studios drilled with illusion and tinctures. Stay tuned for the spooky adventures. You can imagine the stars that align when a forearm starts foreshortening right. A torso hung on a warping spine of a portion. Reads is warm and alive. Routine day with a dirt cheap brush. Then a week goes by and it goes untouched. Then two, then three, then a month. And the rest of your life to beat yourself up. I left some seasons eager to fall. I left some work to bury your life. I let my means of being dissolved. I let my person curl up and die. Eating up his innards and infeasible anxiety. Is brutally committed to relinquishing his privacy. Aligning with the trials of the anti-Midas. Snap on the back lawn, look up in the sky. It's shapes falling out of the fringe. All heart though we would have made cowardly kings. They will chop you down just to count your rings. Just to count your rings. Just to count your rings. And there were colors pouring out of the fringe. All heart though we would have made cowardly kings. They will chop you down just to count your rings. Just to count your rings. Just to count your rings.
Sick and tired of never understanding.
All right, we're back.
Where is the truth you promised?
We're back to the second hour, people. We got some Duncan Defends. We've got Mark kicking off the holiday edition of Midnight Massacre. And maybe Dr. Dark. Anyone seen him yet? Nope. No sign of him. Son of a bitch. I think he chickened out. That's what up with that motherfucker. All right, let's go into, let's see here. What should we do first? What should we do? Look at this giant playground of whatever we can do. I know.
Such a thing.
Woohoo! It's back. It's back, ladies and gentlemen. The highly anticipated return of Duncan Defends. It's the holiday edition. Duncan, what are you defending today, sir?
In the docket this week, we have the Silent Night, Deadly Night remake dubbed Silent Night from 2012.
Woo! All right, man. Get defending.
Right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury of the Midnight Horror Show and our listeners out there, you may be new. We have new listeners. You may be new to this segment, Duncan Defends. The sole purpose of Duncan Defends is... myself, Duncan McLeish, will defend terrible horror movies. Now, I'm saying terrible horror movies. That is how they're perceived in society. Society has shunned them. Society has persecuted them. And no one will stand up for them. And what I will do on this segment is, with the aid of five audio clips I've extracted from the movie, I will put forward a defense. The simple premise of this is that after my defense is closed, if I have given you the inclination to, one, check out this movie because you've never seen it, to check out this movie because you have said that you didn't like it, but it piqued your interest. Or three, there's something I've done here that has made you go, I can't remember that being in that movie. I need to check out. Basically, if you need to check this movie out after I've talked about it, that is a win to me. You vote for Duncan. If at the end of my defense, though, you decide that this movie is not for you, it's shit, you vote against Duncan. Why you want to do that, I do not know. The Silent Night remake is a movie that I have covered before. I didn't like it. I've re-examined it, and I've found that there is a lot to love about this movie. Is it a great movie? No. Probably its biggest crime is being set without snow. It's one of the very few Christmas horror movies with no snow. Yeah, absolutely. No fucking snow in this movie. No snow. But I tell you what it does have. It does have what I brought forward in Exhibit 1, which is, Mark, if I was to ask you, if you were in the role of an actor and you were strapped to a chair and you were about to be electrocuted, and I was speaking to you, how would you portray fear in your voice? How would you do it?
Whimpery and scared.
Whimpery and scared. Now, that is how most people would do it. Not in this movie. This movie, they chose a slightly different acting technique, which had whimpery and scared, but had a really over-the-top annoying stutter. And this... this makes me laugh so much because it is fucking amazing. And, like, you should have quit the movie right on this reason alone. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is exhibit number one. This is the power of the stutter. Mr. Trioxin, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I'm down here! Hey! I'm in the basement! Hello, hey! I'm down here! Just let me go, okay? Please. Because I didn't know she was married. What are you doing? Look, this is a fucking misunderstanding. I didn't... Just, I'm sorry. Okay. She was begging for it. What the fuck did you... I didn't mean that to you because you're her husband. I didn't... Okay, just, how the fuck am I supposed to know that she was married because she wasn't even wearing a fucking wedding ring? Okay, I swear to God, I'm never going to touch you. Get the fuck out of here, okay?
What was that?
It's like a cartoon character eating cookies.
Oh my god, it's so amazing.
So bad. It's so bad, but it's amazing. Oh. It's fucking amazing. And that's kind of the level of acting you're dealing with this movie. So fucking, it's amazing. Actually, that whole fucking scene is the greatest
Holy
thing ever.
Shit.
What this movie does really, really well is it outdoes Bad Santa by giving you Bad Santa's. Exhibit number two is a great example of how bleak this movie portrays Christmas. Like, see if you're looking for the feel-good Christmas movie of the year, Silent Night shouldn't be on this list. See if you're looking for a Christmas movie, which, I mean, some Christmas movies can be, well, Christmas horror movies can be horrific, but still have a kind of positive message about Christmas in the centre of it. Look at Gremlins. This one doesn't even fucking try. Exhibit number two is a selection of some of the dialogue from some of the bad Santas in this movie. Mr. Trioxin, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Timmy.
Well, to be honest, Timmy, I don't think you deserve anything this year.
What a dick.
You're going to get everything on your Christmas list, but if the presents aren't under the tree tomorrow, you know what happened, right? Well, see, your parents took them, and they put them on eBay. That's right. Never trust your parents. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter, lest I get in trouble with the police. See, they send people to check on me to make sure I'm not telling kids the truth about their
parents.
Dr.
Dark.
So don't go snitching on me.
It's dark, isn't it?
Santa's a little secret, right, Chase? All right, superstar. Now, scoot.
Santa sucks.
Ho, ho, ho! What can I do for you?
I'm Deputy Bradmore.
I'm Santa. Santa Claus.
Can you go by any other names?
Yeah, sure. In Easter, I'm the Easter Bunny. Halloween, I'm Halloweener. An Irish Jewish ghost. Days Between, I'm Jim Epstein.
And can I call you Jim Epstein?
Well, you could if you want to ruin the childhoods of all those cute little brats waiting in line looking for reassurance that they're going to have lots and lots of toys under the tree come tomorrow.
Oh, cynical Santa. Cute.
Ooh, you're good. I'm going to have to keep an eye on you.
I'm not from around here, are you?
No, I'm from up north. Small town. North Pole, actually.
Jesus.
And Colorado. For $10, you can sit on my lap, too. We'll talk about the first thing that pops up.
We've been getting some complaints about your behavior towards children.
Well, if you're talking about that whiny little brat back there, I stand by what I said. I speak the truth. So what do you want Santa to bring you, huh? A pony? How about a big fucking box of reality?
How about you tone the fuck down?
Like that or what?
Shit.
You can't revoke my permit. It was issued by town hall.
It's conditional upon your adherence to public decency.
Ooh, now I'm scared. Oh, big cop lady knows the letter of the law.
No.
Because she's a fucking cop.
So, do you have any plans for tonight?
Fuck?
For Christmas?
Oh, this is a different sign.
I will spread as much joy, as many parcels of happiness as I can. I'm going to get my girlfriend. So wasted, she won't even know if I fuck her in the ass. You been a naughty girl, deputy.
Oh my god.
One of my favorite lines from this movie is give you a big fucking parcel of reality. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
My
yeah,
god.
So the bad Santas are bad in this movie. They're very cynical. They have a slightly skewed point of view. It's worth noting that this town has a Santa festival in which there are about 100 people dressed as Santa, which is quite weird to watch. Now, if I haven't already sold this movie to you, and let's be honest, those first two clips, you kind of really want to see the context of where they've come from. Exhibit number three is the honestly, I really feel like I had to put no work in this week and I'm going to walk it. Exhibit number three, and I'm not even being cocky, it's just factual. I love terrible accents. We have talked about how much I love terrible accents because yes. I defended Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls. Yes. And we had a Cage Blanchett talking like this, da, he's the Russian comrade. And it was awful. And then, but it wasn't as bad as Sean Connery's Russian accent or at the same time Harrison Ford's Russian accent, which I played on the show's comparison. So what I'm going to do in this next clip, which is all about terribly entertaining accents, is the first two accents you're going to hear are Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage, master of the accent, will be giving you both his southern accent, followed up by his Italian accent, which is more racist than our Italian jokes on this show. That's all I'm saying. And that is the context for what you hear after it, because the biggest name in this movie is Malcolm McDowell. Now, Malcolm McDowell, established genre actor, most notably known for his role in A Clockwork Orange, but, you know, most recently is like the infatuation of Rob Zombie to put him in fucking everything since Halloween. You may have noticed in Halloween, his American accent is not American. He plays Loomis as a kind of quasi-Englishman. In this movie, he's trying to do an American accent. And what I realised really quickly is he can't stick an American accent for more than a sentence. It starts to default into several words, which are just basically him doing his English accent, which we're going to find in exhibit number three. This is terribly entertaining accents, if you wouldn't mind, Danny.
If I do that, I'll start getting confused about when I'm supposed to come in.
Oh my.
And that, in a concert hall, would be a disaster.
I said, put the bunny back.
That's just for you, Daddy.
No! I'll kill him.
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Oh, God.
Jordan's MIA.
This is fucking amazing.
Wait. What?
No one's seen him since Thursday.
Apparently he's gonzo out of here. Got a whiff of something he couldn't pass up.
Meow. Sir, I can't work tonight. It's Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve for all of us.
The season of giving. So get off your sorry ass.
Town hall.
It's gonna be a real clusterfuck. You're not equipped to handle this kind of situation. I mean, we both know that.
So don't go playing the hero.
That's my job. Oh, Jesus. What a bloody mess.
Oh, God.
I told her she was bad news. I mean, fuck. She was screwing half the bloody town.
Oh, no.
We're just completely completely on her own.
Good.
No.
No state troopers, no FBI, no CSI Miami. This is payback time for those parking violations and stray cats up trees. And I'll tell you another thing. This sick fuck is gonna wish he never set foot in my town.
Jesus.
I really don't feel well enough to be fighting crime. Probably best served just holding the fort.
No, you are best served protecting the good citizens of Cryer instead of your own sorry ass. So,
Jesus.
Man up.
No.
Double S. My ass.
What?
Just who the hell do you think you are, deputy? Don't you tell me how to suss out a perp. Not when you choke the one time you had the chance.
It's god awful.
Oh, it's when he says the word bloody.
Well, I mean,
like,
it just
listen. Listen here, you gotta sort out the bloody mess.
I know it's
bloody mess.
It's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. I didn't think it could get better, but it did.
Just for that solely is a reason to watch this movie. He is fucking hamming it up. All the way through this entire movie, he just does not give a fuck. He is there for the paycheck only, and he doesn't give a fuck. Who knows he's there for the paycheck? He's overacting. He's bringing, like, London-style Shakespearean acting to the role, and it just does not work. Does not work at all. I don't think I'm speaking for myself, even though myself and Danny both have kids. And I know Mark doesn't have any kids that he knows of yet. I know it's safe to say that all of us, and kids are great. Kids are great at Christmas, but they can be annoying little bundles of shit. Mm-hmm. And they, oh, Santa, mm-hmm. Oh, listen. And they get all annoying. And every now and again, you want to stick a cattle prod right in their fucking face and fry them. But you can't do that. It's against the law. Don't do that. This movie does it for you. Live vicariously through this movie. Because in this movie, Santa's a kid killer. If you wouldn't mind, this is exhibit number 4, Mr. Trioxin, please.
What are you doing, honey? Those are mommy's heart pills. I need those.
You need to take me to the mall.
But I thought we'd go to church tonight.
Fuck church. I want my LLB today.
Why don't you wait until tomorrow and see what Santa brings you?
Do I look like I believe in Santa Claus? Go get your purse and meet me in the car.
Holy shit. Total Mark's Valley girl coming through there.
Holy
that
shit.
Look like I believe Santa.
Hello. What a fucking cunt.
Great Salvation fucking Army.
Oh, good. I hope you die, bitch.
Got something for me?
Oh my freaking god. Okay.
There you go. That's what happens to cunty kids. They get fucking shocked in the face in this movie, and let's be honest, we've all been there. Some little bastards ran past you, knocked your trolley out the way, maybe spilled over some of the things that you've got packed up. Picked at things they shouldn't have. I've got fucking pent up rage against kids. It's just like the next guy in this movie. They fucking take it out on the kids, little bastards. Yet, it's so good to get that off my chest. Get that off my chest. Now, if I hadn't already given you enough evidence here to make you want to watch this movie, then some people get cynical about Christmas. It upsets me. Some people are like, Christmas is starting too early every year. The trees are up before Halloween. You know, they get really bummed out by it. And I kind of, sometimes I want to defend it, but then other times I don't want to defend it. Sometimes I just want to be like, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. This movie is on your side, ladies and gentlemen. This movie has a very anti-Christmas message running right through it. And, yeah. None better than this very final exhibit, which I put together for you with some of the great monologues, which are anti-Christmas. I have dubbed this one, it's the most wonderful time of the year. This is exhibit number 5, and this is my closing statement. Mr. Traxton, if you wouldn't mind, please.
It's about the ugly side of Christmas. How we surround ourselves with colored lights and decorations, and snow globes and gift wrap, how we convince ourselves that everything is fun and loud. Dig a little deeper, friends. Christmas has a dark side, too. Remember that chilly night in Bethlehem when baby Jesus was born into this cold world and laid Jesus in the filth of a manger? When King Herod massacred infants. Christmas has some bad memories, too. To truly appreciate the beauty of Christmas, you must understand its ugliness. Sin is the beating heart of Christmas. Pain and war, fear and sickness, death and famine, American Idol and internet pornography. Thomas Guthrie wrote, who is the murderess that takes his life? Sin! Who is the sorceress that first deceives and then damns his soul? Sin! Who is it that brings old men gray hair with sorrow to the grave? Sin!
Yeah! Christmas! When people go off the deep end. Yeah, why? Because they spend too much, and they drink too much, and they eat too much, and they think too much. And they're looking at them, and they make fun and happy laughter, and they go, where the fuck is my cup of joy, huh? Where's my figgy pudding?
Oh, God, not the
figgy
pudding.
Where's my stocking full of gifts? Where's my Calvin Klein underwear, my cable TV?
No.
My replica Tim Tebow NFL jersey?
Oh.
Where's my fancy cologne?
Oh, God.
Where's my gift-wrapped Norman Rockwell wife? Huh? And my beautiful, happy, smiling children? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere. Where are my friends? My beaming friends who worship the fucking ground I walk on because I've had an awesome fucking year, man. It doesn't take much to put people over the edge, uh-uh. Just a dirty look or a bad word. Yeah. Or TV too loud. Or some asshole behind you leaning on his horn. Ring, ring, it's a telemarketer. Give me money for Haiti. Or the Democrats or National Suck My Dick Week.
Oh, my.
It's the most wonderful fucking time of the year.
Merry Christmas!
But whatever it is, wow. You guys think I did, I most certainly did not.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
I'll be honest, I could have went down other roads. There is the priest in this movie is a fucking pervert, like, to the max. They don't hide it at all. He's like an out and out pervert. He's just hunting for pussy all day long, which surprised me because Catholic priests are usually looking for small boys' bums. So it was quite refreshing for him to actually see him going for, you know. Anyway, so in summation, that end fucking, that about killed me. So yeah, there we go. Merry Christmas! Yay! The defense rests.
All right. So now, what?
Now we got to vote on this thing. And this is where people's votes actually do count. Just kidding. They always count. Here especially, we count them individually.
Oh, prick, Mark.
This is not an electoral college kind of thing. All the goodwill will be gone.
They will vote it down now for you. I was winning it!
Okay. Monica is on board.
All right, let's tally them up then. So listeners first then. So, Russell C, I think, is behind me. He says another win for Duncan, so I'm going to take that as a win. Alicia says, you win in my book, Duncan, so I'll take that. Monica says, fuck church, okay, just to get to see her blown away. Yes, I must watch this, so Monica's in with it. I had to do a lot of work here to convince Lance. Lance was at first saying, fuck Duncan, fuck this movie. But he's now saying, fuck it. Okay, I'm sold, Duncan. I have to leave the room soon, headed for dinner, but grudgingly innocent. I think Jacob Kane is also saying innocent. Says horrible, but not guilty. My first not guilty, I believe. That is correct, Jacob Kane, and I appreciate your support in this instance. At the moment, we have no one saying guilty.
What about Jerry Armstrong? That looks like an innocent in the most amazing freaking way ever. I'll need Jerry to confirm that. But that
Myron says Duncan for the win.
Oh, there you go. Have you seen Jerry's yet? You got to go scroll and see Jerry's. You'll love
I
it.
Have not seen Jerry's go yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Though. Go look for Jerry's.
I'm getting everything except what I want to see here.
All right, so Mark, you're tallying all this up, right? You just need to know, how many are going this way, because none are going that way right now.
Yeah.
Okay. This has been like, yep. Jerry says yes. That's innocent. That's an amazing way to do your innocent, sir. It's the greatest way, actually.
That's fucking brilliant.
In the history of histories, it's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, we love that. We've referenced that on the show before, and it is. Guilty or innocent?
Innocent. I love it. I love the Shark to concert. That song is. Oh man! All
right. Right. So let's. I think that's as finished with listeners at the moment. Unless anyone else wants to chime in, you can do it obviously on the Facebook page. Let's turn it over to the hosts. Mark, are you with me? Have you seen this movie before? No.
I have not seen this movie.
Have I made you? What is it? This movie.
Well. Judging by the clips and what you've said here, this sounds like a ridiculous, horrible, very fucking bizarre, slightly shitty movie. And that's why I'm voting innocent.
Wow! Cool.
Yeah.
It sounds ridiculous, especially Malcolm McDowell. His accent, that whole way through it, five fucking times.
It's amazing, all the way through it. He doesn't know what movie he's in. He doesn't know what movie he's in at all. See when
that
he says perps.
Sometimes.
See when he says the word perps. It sounds like someone who is from England who has never said the word perps before and has read it in a script.
Has
no understanding what the word means. He's like, I gotta hunt me some perps.
His accents were you have like nailed out some movies on Duncan Defends, but I would say this one is from top to bottom, from the very tip of this exhibit to the bottom of this one this is like a Mortal Kombat flawless victory. I say innocent. I don't see how, with what you've presented, I don't know why anyone would not want to watch this goddamn crazy ass movie. I have to see this little girl now getting fucking electrocuted.
Have you never seen either?
No, and I have to watch this now. And of course, Smoke kind of liked the movie. He actually liked it from the beginning. He liked it from the beginning. Well, because you were telling us about a perverted priest, and he gets right on board with it.
Oh, he is the perverted priest in this movie. That you heard his monologue at the start there talking about sin.
Yeah,
and Christmas, and that's the priest, and that's what he says. He's got that. He's, that whole clip's fucking amazing because there's like one person sitting in the church, and then the killer comes in as well, dressed as Santa, and he's like that. Oh, I'm still got plenty of room here. Just get a seat here because I've got a small sermon about Christmas, and you think it's going to be something positive, and then it just starts. The sin!
The monologue's amazing. So that is right there an absolute flawless.
I think that's my most successful one.
It's a flawless. Yeah. There's no one going guilty on this one.
Let the motherfucker try me. The nefarious Dr. Dark.
Looks like it's about to be checked.
Oh my god. He can blemish.
Get your hand off my penis! He's gonna do it.
He could blemish this flawless victory right here. Dr. Dark.
I don't know. I don't know what anything.
I know, but
about
would, do you ever?
About.
But
I
that's
no
the point.
Idea.
But that's the point. You never do, and it doesn't matter. It's just you're just voting guilty or innocent.
I don't know. It sounds kind of sacrilegious, and you know,
come on, don't do that. Be Christmassy. Don't do it.
He's gonna do it,
dude. I have no Christmas cheer. Santa.
You would love this movie.
Play him
the final clip, Danny. Play him the final exhibit.
Let's do it. 3 minutes long,
yeah, but it will. After hearing it, you'll love it.
We've got to change him. We've got to change him. Here we go.
About the ugly side of Christmas. How we surround ourselves with colored lights and decorations, snow globes and gift wrap. How we convince ourselves that everything is fun and light. Dig a little deeper, friends. Christmas has a dark
side. Oh, shit, I spit tea everywhere.
Remember that chilly night in Bethlehem when baby Jesus was born into this cold world and laid in the filth of a manger when King Herod...
That's my favorite when the music changes ever.
Infants. Christmas has some bad memories, too. To truly appreciate the beauty of Christmas, you must understand its ugliness. Sin is the beating heart of Christmas. And war, fear, and sickness, death, and famine. American Idol and internet pornography. Thomas Guthrie wrote, "Who is the murderess that takes his life? Sin! Who is the sorceress that first deceives and then damns his soul?
Sin!
Sin! Who is it that brings old men gray hair with sorrow to the grave?
Sin!
Sin! Yeah!
Amen, brother!
When people go off the deep end, yeah, you know why. Because they spend too much, mm-hmm. and they drink too much, and they eat too much, and they think too much, and they look around at all that fake fun and happy laughter, and they go, where the fuck is my cup of joy, huh?
Ooh!
Where's my figgy pudding?
Figgy!
Where's my stocking full of gifts?
Stocking!
Where's my Calvin Klein underwear, my cable TV?
Underwear TV?
Tim Tebow NFL jersey?
Tebow!
Where's my fancy cologne?
Kalagna.
Gift wrap Norman Rockwell wife.
White, huh? White Wildman.
And my beautiful, happy, smiling children. Where?
Yo.
Nowhere. Mm-hmm. Where are my friends? My beaming friends who worship the fucking ground I walk on because I've had an awesome fucking year, man. And it doesn't take much to put people over here.
I think Dark's unwrapping presents.
Mm-hmm. Just a bad word.
What's all that noise, Dark?
TV too loud.
Eating. That fucker's eating.
Ring, ring, it's a telemarketer. Give me money for Haiti. Or the Democrats or National Suck My Dick Week. It's the most wonderful fucking time of the year.
Which is basically Dark's opening line is, when you play these Cinder.
I most certainly did not.
Oh, right. Right, after hearing that, Dark, in your current mood, is it a guilty or innocent?
Eat your oatmeal cream pie there.
Yeah, I am. Since I have now had a nice dinner and I'm feeling more jolly, I couldn't do that to you, man. It's innocent.
Yeah!
Oh, boom. Flawless. Flawless victory.
In the interim, we've also had not guilty from Darren as well. So that is officially the first flawless victory for Duncan Defense.
Darren Wilson has just blown my mind with what could become our double feature, and that's Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Jug Band Christmas, yeah, let's do that.
I totally forgot about that one.
So, Dr. Dark, are you up for the idea of us doing a... Okay, wow, your cabinets are really loud, sir. Okay, you want to walk down the hallway too there, Dr. Dark?
Hello?
Jesus Christ, do you understand we hear like a fart in the wind in your house right now? You can hear everything. You just opened a door and it's like across the fucking
show. Yeah, I wish we'd had these cinders for like when we were doing like the Jallo Killer episode and all that.
I'd love to hear, like, I can't wait till you go back, Dark, because you have to now. And just
I was throwing
hear,
the trash away from my oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah, you just need to hear you opening the oatmeal cream pie. That thing is going. I'm like, what the fuck is it? I thought you were unwrapping presents over there. We didn't know what the hell you were doing, man.
It was so loud.
It was so loud. And then he's like, oatmeal cream pie. And I'm like, what? Oatmeal cream pie. Sound like the guy stuttered. He's like,
oh, this stuttered guy.
Oh, that was an awesome that movie. I think these Christmas movies, I think you might be able to destroy the month of December, possibly. Because these, if they're anything
to.
Like this one, if they're anything
I'm
like this
to.
One, it could be, it, I mean, you could bring the Christmas spirit to everyone.
I'll try my best. I don't know. That's a tall order.
I don't know. This
one
just did
it. I think I peaked early. I think I peaked early. But we'll see. We'll see. There's so much more.
That was amazing.
Story of my life.
Like, it's the story of his life. You dumb motherfucker.
Not peaked early.
Yeah. This has been a bleak fucking Christmas show. God damn it. Oh, holy shit, dude. Oh, man.
The host with mouth of holy.
Oh.
You got twins.
That was great. I love it. All right, so, okay, no, wait. We've got...
Oh, my God.
We've got some Midnight Massacre. What? So what are we doing this time, Mark? Mark, you're in control. You're the director this time. And on that note, hold on that note, Monica, you won the last one. We need your address to send you your prizes. So shoot it to us in a message. Not like everyone. I didn't mean like the whole nine yards or anything. Whatever. Okay, so, Mark?
Did you say send you the whole nine yards in a message?
Shut your fucking mouth. I moved it over to Mark. Just forget it. Mark.
I'll send you, like, the whole
Mark.
So it's December, so we're doing the Merry Massacre. Well, it's almost December. It's December in some of your time zones, but yeah. We're leaving the 80s party house and we're going to the North Pole. Or maybe it's the South Pole. I'm not really sure. I've been drinking a lot of scotch.
It's cold at both places. It really doesn't matter.
Yep. So, all right. Go to the Facebook group. I'm going to post this thing right about now. Same kind of deal as we did last month or the last go around. This is all going to be kind of decided with a dice roll, and you're going to pick a room, sort of a room. So, all right. Here we go. And post.
Oh, and everyone's back alive. That means even Smoke. Smoke, I know you're listening, even though
you... Yep, everybody's back alive, and we discussed having the winner, Monica, have like some sort of an advantage for this go-around. I was thinking maybe
like a double
one free, not get killed.
So like a double life.
Jail free card.
Like a double.
You can't use it on the last round.
Like a double life.
Assuming you make it that far. Monica.
Monica won. I didn't know that. Danny, Monica, we're friends on Facebook. If you fire me your address in a private message, I will arrange your poster.
Yep, there you go. And so, Mark, what's going to be the dance floor? I see now. I see.
I see now.
I like it. I like it.
I like it.
I don't know where I want to go,
If you're not here and you can't listen live, but you want to play along still or all that, or you miss a show or something, is going to be the Candy Cane Forest, which is the five on the dice.
All right, you're going to give them an extra week to join, like a couple stragglers?
Yeah. You can join again next week, and then, I don't know, we kind of got to set like a cutoff. We can't have people like joining super late in the game, I guess, even though we're getting a bunch of new listeners, so... this week's kind of a freebie, but maybe it should also be a risk because
let's put it this way. This week should be a freebie to everyone except the hosts.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There we go. Yep.
So if a host dies, you're out.
So, but if it hits
a listener, this is just kind
of, yeah. So if it hits that room, yeah, the only one that dies out of that room, even if everybody's in the room, is just going to be the host. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we might have people on TuneIn or something, or Twitter, maybe they can't see this, or just for the sake of the playback, what we got here is the one on the dice is Santa's workshop.
Come with that woman?
No, but it comes with a giant, scary Santa Claus.
Right, that's
that
fine,
wants
then.
To kill the woman.
How does he want to kill her? So, what the fuck? That's aggressive. It's crazy, son of a bitch.
Two is the Antarctic Research Base, Outpost 31, where a sort of socially awkward man named R.J. McCready plays chess and drinks booze.
And other stuff that prevents me from going to that god-awful hellhole, so.
I'm going to fuck around with the reindeer.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Yeah, so three is Echo Base, the Star Wars reference. Four, we've got the Krampus Cave,
because for some reason that
Krampus cave sounds like something that happens to women during their period. That does I don't what? Like that. I said it sounds like something that happens to women during their period. The Krampus cave. I don't. It sounds like I caved over. It's the Krampus cave.
Caved the Krampuses.
Yeah, I don't know if Mark, I don't think you caught that period reference at all, yo.
Yeah,
do you understand
yeah.
how a period works? Do I need to explain this to you?
So five is the candy cane forest. And six is the reindeer bar.
Well, we
reindeer
know.
Barn, not bar.
Yeah, but Dark's going to.
It is the reindeer bar
reindeer
for Dark.
Reindeer rain semen.
Yeah, he's. Oh, he's like, who wants some Dark's eggnog?
Hallelujah! It's raining deer.
Comment on the map or in the chat room or somewhere that we might see it. And
stupid
yeah.
Dark.
I want to be in Krampus's cave purely for the fact that they cracked a menstrual joke about it. So menstruation,
yeah,
in a joke form on a board. I'm after my horrible story, which I will bring up one day again for those
amazing.
That are new listeners. But
it's
I'm not mentioning it. It's just now. Yeah,
it's a great story.
That one.
Oh shit! I'm good. We're getting these whole fuckload of them all at once. All
right, I'm gonna go hang out at.
Right, so Alicia Newman wants to be in the Candy Cane Forest. You got that, Mark?
Yeah, I'm looking at them. You
right,
can go
you've
and
got
read them if you want.
Yeah. Russell C is in Echo Base. So is Jerry Armstrong. And Monica is in Outpost 31. Claudia says candy canes for the win or fuck the world depending on your outlook. Probably fuck the world considering our theme for this show has been anti-Christmas.
That's
so to
true.
Speak. Myron is also in Krampus Cave hanging out with me. Darren is in Outpost 31. Smoke is also joining us in Krampus's cave hole, as he calls it.
Oh, God.
Krampus cave hole. Oh, my God. Madman Gamer is in Echo Base. Scott Morris says he will take the reindeer barn.
Oh, no. Does he know what's going on over there?
Dr. Dark is doing things to the reindeer, which the reindeer don't like, regardless of the noises they're making. Reindeer grunt anyway. Right.
Yeah, they.
I'm trying to see if they're boys or girls. I've heard that female reindeer have antlers too.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Lord.
Doc's trying to find Adam's apple.
I wonder if I wonder if I should do
on Dasher.
So look, what lost last time? Number one was first, right? That was smoke in the bedroom. So
yeah,
I'll
that's why I'm worried now.
One.
Like, Smoke went out first last time. Is he jinxed me by joining me?
Yeah, that's why I don't know if I should do number one or go where Smoke is. Like, I don't know. I'm going to put myself in. Yeah, I'm going to go to Santa's workshop. I'll be at number one.
Someone else is writing a comment just now, so we'll just see if this is another listener joining us to let us know. They're typing a lot, according to Facebook. just
stupid
the name
Facebook.
Of the place. Here we go.
It's
there
probably
go.
Smoke.
Scott says, keep Dr. Dark away from the males. We can guarantee nothing, sir.
Yeah, he'll probably go near the males.
Keeper.
Yeah, he'll. We're nowhere near him. All right, so is everyone set in a room now?
Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
No, you, but do you recall the most? Someone needs to be here. Come on!
I know, we got to find that guy because I forgot that's Christmas.
Reindeer. What?
I'm gonna be in the workshop with Danny.
All right. Are we ready for this?
We have. No, that's fine. Darren, it's just Darren.
Oh, okay.
Save a turkey, eat meatloaf. But it's from.
Oh, no, I want turkey.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right, here we go. Four.
Oh, I'm out. Smoke's out.
What?
Yep, it's the cave.
Oh.
Where's the cave?
Me and Smoke are dead. Smoke, you jinxed me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Damn.
That's horrible. What the shit?
Start.
Right
shit's
at the
getting
start.
Serious right from the top.
I don't like
right, posters are cancelled.
Damn.
Christmas is canceled.
Sorry, Monica. It's Danny's fault.
I'll re-roll. Let's see here. Let me see. It is one this time.
No,
oh, it's
not gonna re-roll.
You can't wee roll. I'm out.
Like he's looking dark.
Out. Smoke ruined Christmas for me.
But
I'm gonna go back and listen to that exhibit number 5 to cheer myself up.
And you're gonna need to. I can't believe that motherfucker, man. Smoke is like not good to be anywhere near.
Jerry Armstrong says smoke needs to stay out of the hole.
He really does. That is really true.
Yeah.
He does. Whoa, Dr. Dark, don't say it like that. You're like, yeah, he sure does. Ouch. Ouch.
Since Mel was down here to the barn.
Remember that time that Smoke sung down like a down in a hole like it was like a boy band. It was like down in a hole.
he always puts too much emotion in his songs. Like he's jizzing.
I miss his singing voice. I do miss his singing voice.
Yeah. Oh, see, it got all the way to the end of the show. Now we're gonna have to wait and do the wrap off next week. All right, Mark, we get another week to prepare for wrap off.
Man, I was ready too.
Yeah, right.
I am.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm always ready. I've got a back catalog of.
See, Mark.
Oh no, it's original rap, is it?
No. No. Rap? Oh my God, no. We would never.
Oh, mine,
succeed.
No.
No, none of
oh,
us.
No, well,
none
I've got
us.
A bit of million then.
All right, Mark. We've got.
But we're
some
not
work
doing it tonight.
Do. We got some work to do, Mark. We got some work. All right, you ready for this? It's gonna be a holiday miracle if we can pull it off next week.
I'm gonna lay down some nasty beats.
Nasty.
Jerry Armstrong's gonna use that speech as his Christmas dinner prayer. That's going to be great. Jerry, you should videotape that. We want to see that. It's going to be good stuff. I want to see it. That's going to be good stuff.
Let me see it.
That always makes me think of, where's he at? There he is.
Light special. TLC has enough hits to fill up a greatest hits CD.
Hits?
I would,
that
do we have
motherfucker
his...
cost me my room.
What, do we have his other show?
Smoke says... Smoke says he's like the black guy in horror movies, always dying first.
Oh, Smoke, that's messed up. Oh, I thought we actually had the Smoke rap. We don't. We don't. Oh, we do have this one.
Oh, no.
We have this.
Let me enlighten you. Dr. Os fucking game.
I'm smacking the dice. I'm smacking that dice.
I bet you are.
That's amazing. Oh, that's so great. I'm so glad he did that. All right,
You want to know how you can piss off your listeners in like 2 seconds?
How?
Like completely piss them off in 2 seconds.
I know how.
See in our I know you know how. You wrote the book on that.
You did.
See in the Midnight Horror Show group chat. I am posting a little sneak peek of my upcoming Podcast Under the Stairs poster that no one else will be able to see except us, and then you can tell them how amazing it looks. And they'll have to wait. Is it amazing, Danny?
I know that it's amazing. I know that it's like,
how do you know?
It's six nipple tingling amazing.
It's six nipple tingling.
It really is. I think
Dr. Dark could say about this poster that his name is Jason.
I know we did that.
Mark
earlier.
Did it better. Mark, you did it. Your room
is great. His name is Jason.
Why is Dark become the detective from Pieces?
That poor girl happened. She's still alive.
Oh, Dr. Dark, before we go, we have to know your answer on this question. Eggnog, is it a wonderful holiday drink or vile elf semen?
I already know the answer to this. He's lactose intolerant.
Oh.
Exactly. It's vile elf semen.
But you still drink it? I'm confused.
Of course.
He's like, bitch, of course.
I'm nearly for it, but I still drink it.
Ask him the other questions. Ask him the other. I know we're right at the end, but ask him the other questions. I want to hear the answers to everything.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
Make your own eggnog, it's actually not bad, but if you get the pre-mixed, like, Evan Williams shit at the liquor store, blah.
All right, so what's your what's the horror Christmas movie you have to watch every year?
A horror Christmas movie.
Yeah, he's like, does that exist?
I've never seen one.
Are you serious?
You have. You've seen Gremlins.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's about as close as
Scrooged.
You can get.
Scrooged?
Yeah, Scrooged is kind of horror.
I mean, Home Alone? He was pretty scared.
It is about a home invasion. I mean, it's like, you know, it's the original home invasion film for the back then in the 90s. And it had the Southwest Shoveler or whatever that guy's name was.
The Southwest Shoveler. Sounds like the worst fucking dancer ever. Like one break dance, one New Jersey break dancing competition 1997. Unanimously, the Southwest Shoveler.
Yes, that's... Oh,
I'm giving him a whole backstory. His real name's Dave.
I love that Dr. Dark sits here and goes, horror Christmas. I mean, what the fuck, dude? Oh, we've promised
what
new listeners.
What is this abomination?
I know. Look,
right. We've been doing this show for what, like 8 years, and I've never watched one.
Dude, I mean, yeah, everybody, we've talked about this earlier. We let new listeners understand what they can expect for
your top 10 end of year list is going to be interesting. The interesting part is to find out how many you've actually seen.
That's the best part of the game.
It's going to be incest.
What?
That's the best part.
I thought you said it's going to
be what's on his brain.
It's going to be incest.
West Virginia is always on his mind.
Right, so the next one was the worst Christmas horror movie you've seen, but you've just said you don't watch many Christmas horror movies. So what's the next question?
What was the single worst or grossest holiday gift you have ever received?
Amazing. This is going to be fucking amazing.
The grossest gift I've ever received or given?
Well, we already Either. Said that you given was a rim job, but we want to know. Either one, whatever.
Well, my end of that was perfectly clean. Let's see. I'm trying to think. One time when I was a kid, at Spencer Gifts, does everyone know what a Spencer Gifts is?
No.
It's like a store that sells like gag gifts and t-shirts and like
and adult toys and
adult
crazy
toys
shit.
But oh, not like real, but not like real ones, not like real dildos and shit like that,
just
like
fake dildos
ones.
Imaginary dildos.
No, I mean they have like cheap handcuffs and like panties and stuff like that. I mean they don't have like real dongs
and pussy
stuff
poos
like that. But anyway, and they're gag gifts and stuff. I mean, they have some pretty grossy, like raunchy ones.
Did you say grossy?
Grossy.
Grossy. Those I said grossy.
Gross and raunchy, and it came out grossy. But anyway, they had this thing called Santa Fart, and you squeeze it, and when you squeeze Santa, he goes and farts. So. When I was like 5, I thought it was hilarious, and I convinced my mom to let me buy one for my grandmother. And she still has it to this day. It's like sitting out in her living room with a little plastic Santa fart.
Oh my god, dude! And Alicia says the adult toys have taken over the back of that store. Monica says, I got you on that Spencer's, bro. See, people know Spencer's, man. They know. And Russell C. wants to know, how many dildos is Dart getting for Christmas? And anonymous listener said all of them.
I mean, how many more do I need?
We should set up a PO box in Dr. Dark's name and mail him dildos.
Dr. Dark collects fucking dildos like that wee boy collects Pokemon.
Yeah, as long as all of us that send the dildos are willing to help him pay for a divorce and custody lawyer when his wife divorces him for having 800 dildos show up in his house.
When she finds the dildo seller, yeah, that's guaranteed to happen.
Well, she's probably just gonna be like, well, this is normal. This is actually less packages than he normally gets of dildos. Dark sets on a landfill of dildos. I mean, he's like the king of the dildo
world. At least he's not buying them now.
I mean, you just... Oh, you're a good sport, Dr. Dark. Very good sport. I think your final question was... that was it. Your final question was, how many dildos were you getting for Christmas? So, thanks for answering.
I'm getting nothing for Christmas.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to have Horror's Biggest Badass back next week. We'll get that back up and rolling for the TV shows. We have
Alicia says, basically every listener could get a dildo for Dart for Christmas. Where do we send them?
Oh, my God.
We need to set up a P.O. box for Dart.
We do.
That's what I said.
We really do.
I wish Lucas's P.O. box was still active. We would definitely have them going there.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's not a crime or anything, mailing somebody a fucking rubber dick.
It might be a crime. Might be a terrorist act. I don't know. I don't know what you get for sending rubber dicks to people
about
that
in
don't
the mail.
Them.
But I mean, like those people that threw the dildo onto the football field at that game, they got banned from the stadium for life.
Yeah, and that is not.
Yeah,
cool.
But
and the dildo didn't even fuck up the play of football. Right, the ref got rid of it. He kicked it off the field.
Press charges or anything? They were just very angry. How dare you throw a dildo on a football game on national TV?
Yeah, but
what charges would they press?
Throwing dildos, man, it's dangerous. I mean, you could have killed a player, dude. You could have killed
Stop
a player.
Stop sending
that
me dildos. They're all press charges.
It was like a foot long double dong, you motherfuckers. It was going to kill somebody.
This thing's ain't cheap.
Nah.
Look, Mark,
bad.
Whoa. Hold on now. Everyone, frick, pause.
We're going to end this motherfucker.
No, we're not going to end now that you. Mark's like,
all right, Adam and Eve.
Mark knows the price of a double dong. I don't think it's Adam and Eve. It's like Adam and Steve, dude. He's like talking about these double dongs. Mark's like, oh, those things are expensive.
It could be an Eve's puss and Adam's butt.
Mark's like,
only on the Midnight Horror Show can you tune in and hear this sort of quality banter. And you need to come back next week to hear more because we're going to be back with more.
Oh, my God.
This is
going to
be such a fun fucking month. I'm so pumped for this.
Wow. Dr. Dark.
Do you hear my children yelling now?
No, we don't. But Darren Wilson, you're spot on. Spencer's equals chain wallets and bowling shirts. Yes, that is pretty much
it. It's like Hot Topic if he took the goth out of it.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Merry Christmas, Dark. Russell's buying you an entire arm up to the elbow.
Those things are creepy, dude.
You think that's creepy? Wait till you see Jerry's actual
double
dog. That is
double dick.
It looks like a rhinoceros or something. I don't know what the hell is going on with that thing. All right, we've got to go before the dicks like take over the whole show. So
yeah, we done a good job in cleaning all this up.
We got
right back in the toilet.
We're right back in the toilet. All right, so we'll be back next week, 7 o'clock Eastern next Wednesday. So join us, and we'll bring you some more holiday cheer. Check us out, tmhsradio.com, TMHS Radio, tune in app, or tune in on your computer, whatever. And join the Facebook group, and follow us on Twitter. I don't know what that is, at TMHS Radio, I guess. Right? I don't know.
Yep.
And make sure to go check out the podcast Under the Stairs.
Oh, thanks.
And Fancy and Friends. And Dark Discussions, which I hear is getting its own TV show. Did you guys hear about that?
Seriously.
Amazon's putting it out.
Yeah, Amazon's going to put it out. Seriously, Dark.
Seriously.
All right. We'll be back next week. Goodbye. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.